Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
I'm so glad you've joined us here on the Clark Howard Show. You know, our mission is to serve you with advice and information that empowers you so you can make better financial decisions in your life. I'm going to start today with a special important warning for you. If a friend or relative is in a nursing home, assisted living, in the hospital, anything like that, you need to know there's dirty stuff going on as their friend or relative that you got to be on your guard for. On a much lighter note, self-checkout seemed like a great idea for the store, but not so great for you and me. Now it's turning out they're not such a great idea for the store. So what's happening that you need to know is how the retail game is changing. So this is an important consumer warning, consumer alert. You take a friend or a relative to the hospital. They put a lot of forms in front of you. Never, ever sign for financial responsibility. The hospital is trying to trick the person, the loved one or friend who takes someone to the hospital to sign financial responsibility forms so that if the individual receiving care can't pay all the bills, that they then can come after you. Well, now the nursing home biz and the assisted living businesses have both figured out, hey, this is cool. We're going to go after family members and friends. And you know how when you go to visit somebody at a nursing home or assisted living, they're having you fill out information about who you are and how to reach you? Okay, you think, oh, that's so nice. They want to tell me if something happens with fill in the blank, whoever it is. No, they're using that so a debt collector can try to con you into assuming financial responsibility for the bills for that person who you visited in assisted living or nursing homes. This is becoming so common that the feds have put out a full alert to make sure that you know you are not to be ripped off by a collector for a nursing home or assisted living. And just as with a hospital, never fill out financial responsibility forms. Who's responsible for the bill at the nursing home, assisted living, or hospital? The person who is receiving care. Not you as the friend who took them there. Not you as the relative who took them there or goes to visit them there, whatever there is. This is rotten, dirty pool. So be really, really on your guard with what you're asked to sign. Look at it, because you could be tricked into signing a financial responsibility form. Don't do it. And in the case of the nursing homes and assisted livings, the federal allegation is that they are trying to intimidate or coerce payments out of someone who has no legal obligation to pay for that person who is in a nursing home bed or assisted living bed. Stand up for yourself. Do not allow somebody to cheat you.
Jonathan in Mississippi wrote in saying, what's the best way to comparison shop electric vehicles for a lease? There are ways to find out sale prices very easily, but not on leases. I'm not quick to assume that the sale cost differences between brands will correlate to a simple formula to determine the lease cost. Background, my wife and I are looking to get an EV. We've never leased before. We usually buy outright. We know the pitfalls and agree with the article here, and they link to your article, Clark.com, about leasing a car. The difference here is the EV technology. She's looking at a few cars like the Tesla Model Y and the Honda Prologue. The Prologue is on the list due to the fact that we've been driving Hondas for years. The Prologue will be a brand new model, perhaps with bugs like many first-year cars. Even if not the Prologue, EV technology seems rapidly changing, and the prices could continue to drop. We just think it'd be worth the risk to lease, but not to own just yet.
Okay, this is a great question. Tesla Model Y, buy it, don't lease it. The leasing terms on it are not good at all. Its value is known in the marketplace, and that one is one that you'd have to have a very unusual circumstance to make leasing a better idea than buying. Pretty much all other brands, because they're very young and designing and building and delivering electric vehicles, they're way behind Tesla in terms of maturity of their electric vehicles. It is a really good thought to look at leasing one, like for example with the Honda, because they're such rookies at electrics. And so there are a number of websites now that do updated guides on what they believe are the best deals on leases and what the lease specials are. True Car is one. Electric, which is spelled E-L-E-C-T-R-E-K, which is a blogger on electric vehicles that is very thorough on the electric vehicle market. Carfax does a guide to electric vehicle leases. There's another website, myev.com, that does a guide to electric vehicle leases. As much as I despise leases and electric vehicles, it can make sense because it may make you eligible for a tax credit you're not eligible for on a purchase, because the credit goes to the manufacturer when you may not be eligible for it as a consumer. And then that gets baked into the lease. And the thing you brought up, the uncertainty about how newer brands in the electric space, how those vehicles will hold up in value, how they're going to hold up at all, makes leasing those potentially smart, definitely a viable alternative.
And didn't you just recently convince your brother Gary to buy a Y instead of leasing?
I did. My brother, it's funny because he was a really anti-electric vehicle guy. Then he borrowed our car one day and ended up saying, hey, this thing's great. And then he and his wife bought the Y, and both of them are like obsessed with their Model Y. But they were spinning their wheels a lot with the lease, and I was able to run the numbers and show them that it was a lot better a deal with the Teslas to buy instead of lease. So yeah, That's what they did.
And I bought the first year Model Y. I never could imagine buying a car without having ever even seen it, but I knew it was the one I wanted because I had driven the 3, and I love it.
Kind of, how long have you had a Y now?
Since 2020, so yeah. Okay, Connie in Georgia says, Clark, my question relates to personal insurance, auto, and home. AM Best determines the financial stability of an insurance company. Is there a source to determine if the insurance company provides good claim service? Also, using an independent insurance agent, what insurance companies do you recommend or not recommend?
Okay, so Connie, first let me deal with the independent agent thing. Independent agents, there aren't as many of them out there as there used to be. I love independent agents because they're going to be able to quote you many different companies, and they're especially useful if you have any kind of unusual situation going on. They're very different than what's known as a captive agent. Like State Farm and Allstate use captive agents, where the agents only represent that one company. I like independent agents versus that. But most insurance now is what's known as direct written, where people go to a website or call the company directly. That's why you've got just endless advertising going on with Progressive and Geico and Allstate and State Farm and all that. They're trying to get those direct phone calls or direct website visits to get quotes. The companies that advertise the most heavily are not the ones that Consumer Reports finds are doing the best with customer service for both claims and non-claims for auto and homeowners. And we have briefings on Clark.com based on what ratings groups like Consumer Reports, J.D. Power, and others have said, who does the best job in each of these areas. So there is no AM Best for that, but there is wonderful research from Consumer Reports and research from J.D. Power and other ratings groups, American Customer Satisfaction Index. And so we have summaries of those, or you can go direct to the sources and see who is doing the best job year after year, day in and day out, serving someone when the chips are down. Because you're not dealing with a claim when everything's great. It's when something's gone wrong. And that's when you want to know that the insurance company actually has your back.
Wendy in Illinois says, back in October, I received several MasterCard charges for tickets to New York City museums, ferry rides, etc.
How were they?
I know. I immediately called the fraud department and explained that the charges were not mine. Oh. I had the card and have no other authorized users. Initially, they took the charges off, but now they claim that the tickets were used and they reissued the charges.
Wait. Just because people use your card number to get tickets and they were used, that doesn't make you liable for them any more than any other fraudulent charge. Come on.
I have filled out their forms and submitted several times stating that these charges were not mine. Now it is March and I have not heard anything. So this came in last month. I've heard nothing. What is my next step to get this situation resolved? I do not want to pay for tickets I did not authorize or use.
Wendy, run, don't walk to the website consumerfinance.gov. Remember, .gov. That's the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. They will send your complaint as a federal inquiry to the bank. Yours is one of the giant monster mega banks. And then it will go to a special department there. And now they're going to have to justify to the feds within 30 days why they're holding you responsible for these charges. There is no excuse for this. The bank has no proof at all that you did these charges. This is pretty much an open and shut one. This is a bank, a giant monster mega bank, abusing you as a customer. So file that complaint right away with the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. And you should hear from this giant monster mega bank within probably about 2.5-3 weeks that they, as a courtesy to you, are giving you a credit. They will never admit that they messed up the first time by posting these charges back to your card. Know that when you dispute charges on a card, it puts a process in play. And at first, you get a temporary credit subject to investigation. In this case, the bank did no real investigation. They said, oh, well, we paid this money out, so we don't want to lose it, so we're going to charge you back for it. And that's when you have to be prepared to fight back against the giant monster mega. And I expect to hear that you get the credit in short order that you were owed. Again, consumerfinance.gov. Coming up in just a couple minutes, the latest chapter of self-checkout. What an unpopular activity self-checkout is. We're going to talk about it straight ahead. What's now happening that you're going to see as a customer.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
How weird is it that retailers went to self-checkout, not as a convenience to you and me, but as a money saver for them? And I think about when I go in a store and there's no staffed registers at all. There's a redesigned Walmart of the future near me. And it's so funny when you go up to the front of the store with your items, there's no regular checkouts whatsoever. Everything from one end to another is self-checkout. If somebody is not physically capable of self-checkout, I don't know how they actually do it. And if you look up, there are so many cameras watching you. It's bonkers in that store. But the problem they're having with self-checkout is thieves are taking advantage of the opportunity to steal at self-checkout. So retailers are doing a bunch of different things. You may have heard that Target is limiting self-checkout to 10 items or less. So I hope that when Target does that, they decide to open additional registers with humans. The Target that we go to probably has, I don't know, 16 registers. How many are ever staffed? How many? The most ever is one. Sometimes there's zero. And if you want to check out with a human, you have to go stand in the service desk line. And so everything is self-checkout. So now what's going to happen? If you limit people to 10 items or less, are you now creating a market incentive where people say it's too hard to check out of this store, so we're only going to get 10 items? Dollar General is dumping self-checkout at hundreds and hundreds of stores because they've been dealing with theft. Okay, so here's the thing. This is so easy. Retailers did this to save themselves money, and now it's turning out it's boomeranging on them and hurting them and costing them money. The reality is these new systems, like the one I talked about at Uniqlo, that eliminate shoplifting and are ultra customer friendly for checkout are great. If you never heard me talk about it, if you never heard of Uniqlo, they're a Japanese retailer that spent a fortune developing a proprietary system that's led to a new way of looking at self-checkout and retail. And it's phenomenal. You go up to the self-checkout, you dump your merchandise into this bin. The bin reads every item that's in there in a fraction of a second. You press a button that you're done, you pay and you're out. There's never a line to check out, and you're out of the store with the quickest checkout anybody offers anywhere. I mean, you think about this, technology is going to be the answer. Technology made it possible for the thieves to steal all kinds of stuff. Technology is also going to eliminate the pain points of self-checkout and get us out so fast without the current theft problem that exists. As for self-checkout, certain stores, I really like self-checkout because it works well. Others, I can't stand it. So it really is a hit or miss for me in a store whether the pain point of self-checkout is too great or not. As for Walmart and Target, I've never found the self-checkout to be hard. But my favorite of all, speaking of the technology, Sam's Club, scan and go. They got it down. They got it right. I'm so impressed with what they've done. So it's all a matter of putting the customer first. How would you make this a win-win? There are people who are doing that, and before you know it, self-checkout isn't going to be a hated thing anymore. Do you have a favorite self-checkout place?
No, it all depends on whether I feel like doing work myself that time, whatever store I'm in.
Have you ever been to a Uniqlo?
No.
Krista, it's just so wild. You just dump your stuff in there, and then you put it back in your bag or, you know, a shopping bag or whatever. Boom, you're done. I mean, it's instant. And 100% accurate. I'm always looking at the receipt
That's
to
the
find
most
something
important
wrong.
Thing. Yeah.
And it's exactly right.
Okay. We'll go to questions. This is from Kathleen in North Dakota. I got an offer.
My only state I've not been to.
No. I got an offer from American Express to start a high yield savings account at 4.35% APY. It's FDIC insured. Can they take money from the savings account if we have a credit card dispute?
Potentially, yes. And what a great question. It is common that any bank will have cross default clauses. that if you have a loan with them, you have a credit card with them, you have any kind of loan side of the ledger thing going on, and you have money on deposit with them, they almost universally will have in there the cross default clause that allows them at their own option, if they decide, oh no, we don't agree with Kathleen at all, with no notice, they will come in and take that money right out of your savings. So as to what clause it would be in an Amex agreement, I couldn't even tell you. I would tell you that these are so common, I would expect it exists, not that it doesn't exist.
Ken in Arizona says, after freezing our credit at Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax, I took your advice and went over to optoutprescreen.com to shut off the flow of pre-approved credit card offers we get in the mail. On that site, I noticed it says, opting out refers to the process for removing your name from lists supplied by the consumer credit reporting companies, Equifax, Experian, Innovis, and TransUnion, to be used blank dot dot dot. I'd never heard of Innovis before. Visiting their site, I see they also offer a security freeze. Should I freeze our credit there as well?
You could. I mean, there are, in addition to the three very large credit bureaus, Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian, there are dozens and dozens, maybe past 100, smaller things that come under the rules of the Fair Credit Reporting Act and credit freeze and all that. And so you can always go beyond that, because you never know where someone will be using a more minor credit bureau, like the ones we've had about the credit bureau, the obscure one that the cell phone companies use, that is why there's been so much theft of service from the cell phone companies. And then suddenly you get a bill saying you bought that wonderful new iPhone, or you owe this bill for a month of service or whatever, because you may have had your credit frozen with the big three, but you didn't have this obscure one that the cell phone carriers use. So yeah, if you've discovered it, you want to do everything you can do these various smaller credit bureaus. Innovis is probably the biggest of the smaller ones out there. And if you want to do it, it's free. You can do it.
And we do have an article about the more minor credit reporting agencies at clark.com.
Russ, what do we call them? Are they like the people who got accepted to the NIT instead of the NCAA?
Like my school.
Y'all are NIT?
Boston College.
Okay.
Russ in Rhode Island says, last summer, my wife and I cruised the British Isles on NCL. Unfortunately, we both came down with COVID, and we were confined to our room for 5 days of the 15-day cruise. We were sick on days 10 through 14. When we felt ill, we visited the ship hospital. They immediately told us they don't accept insurance, but would provide all of the documentation to file for reimbursement from our insurance company. Of course, we agreed because we felt horrible. Bottom line was, they charged us $8,000, which we had to pay before leaving the ship for evaluation, medication, IV, x-ray, etc. They provided documentation that we submitted to our insurance. Our most significant issue, while they did provide documentation, they did not provide the codes that insurance companies use to identify the procedures. We requested that they provide the codes, and they told us they do not do that. After weeks of back and forth with the cruise line and insurance, the insurance company agreed to reimburse us a total of $3,500. So we're out $4,500. We didn't buy medical insurance for the cruise because we should have been covered. What would you have done?
So, Russ, this same thing happened to me with a cruise, and I was not able to get even what you did. What I learned after the fact is that if you suspect you have COVID, all you want from the cruise ship is a COVID test. You don't want them doing a wide array of tests. If you just say yes, they'll run every test on you, use every piece of equipment they have there. And all you needed to know was you had COVID. And that would have been a charge of, I think, like $80 on a cruise ship to verify that you have COVID. You felt horrible, of course. There's only so much you can do for COVID. And they didn't need to do diagnostics. They could have given you a five-day run of Paxlovid that usually will significantly lessen the symptoms. So the problem is these infirmaries on the ship, they are run by entities that are trying to make money from it. and they will charge you for every possible thing that you would not normally have in a normal medical environment. And yes, it is true. In the reading I've done, they don't code the bills for U.S. because the ships sail international waters. They have people from all over the world. And we're talking U.S. codes for healthcare.
Wow.
So
that's pretty brutal. I mean, that would make me want to buy the medical insurance if I'm going on something like that. Because what
even,
if you're sick?
Even, okay, so even if you buy, in the reading I've done, even if you have trip insurance covering medical, you still may have trouble getting reimbursement because they have not properly coded, or they may decide that the testing done is not medically necessary.
Wow.
So that's why you, if you were feeling terrible and they do a COVID test on you, a flu test, whatever, and they find you have COVID, you got the diagnostics you needed. And then all you need from that point is treatment. But it is a game that happens on the cruise ships, is to try to run up these bills in the ship infirmary. Just know this. I mean, you now know, but anyone else going on a cruise, know that you want diagnostics and treatment. You don't want endless diagnostics. And once they know you got the COVID, then they've done what they needed to do. And that was really it.
Well, unless you're, we're going to get Clark Stinks. Unless you're really sick and you might need those things, or if you have something else other than COVID, like
right.
You,
but if you're exhibiting symptoms of flu-like stuff, they're going to do a COVID test. Is there an RSV test?
There's a flu test. I don't
flu
know.
Flu test.
I would assume.
COVID, flu, maybe RSV. Yeah. So they figure out, because they all present similar symptoms. You know, it's hard to figure out what's what. So when they figure out that's what you have, then what do? You treat it, you know, flu with
Tamiflu. If you get it early. Yeah.
Yeah, the COVID with Paxlovid. And I don't know how you treat
RSV. I don't know. This is reason 1,698 why I don't want to ever go on a cruise again. Seriously.
And we're going on another cruise this summer because that's what my son was excited about for his high school graduation gift.
God bless.
Overprivileged kid. It'll be his 26th cruise.
Wow.
26.
That's great.
And you remember the first one when he was
kindergarten,
I guess he was.
Yeah. Wrote you that persuasive letter.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I hope of the one thing, the only good thing, Russ, in this is that you're both healthy again.
Yes.
And no following effects of it. But the whole cruise ship thing with the infirmary, be on your guard because they will run up that bill, no doubt, as I learned also firsthand like you. Well, that was kind of a sad way to end.
Well, speaking of Clark Stinks, you know, since I said you were going to get some.
It's going to be tomorrow.
Yeah, and guess what? I have a surprise for you.
A surprise Clark Stinks tomorrow?
I have a surprise. Last week you talked about how sometimes we do doubles to clear out the Clark Stinks in the box.
We're doing a double tomorrow?
I can't even clear it out. We're doing a double.
All right.
It's all Clark
Stinks all the time this Friday. And remember what we're about. Save more, spend less, and avoid getting ripped off. See you tomorrow.